Blog Talk Radio.
Church, it's Tana tonight. Welcome. Welcome to church, everyone. I love you all. Welcome everyone in chat and everyone listening and everyone online, which I'll bring on in just a moment. I just want to thank you for coming to church tonight. And just want to thank our Lord Jesus Christ, our pastor, and the Holy Spirit for being with us at our church service tonight and guiding us and filling us with their love. We thank you for putting us all together as we eagerly and anxiously await your return, our Lord, your bride, so we can be at home with you forever and marry you. Thank you for guiding our lives. We sprinkle the blood of Jesus over your blood, Lord Jesus, over all of us, the whole RCC and their families. Thank you, Jesus. And as I like to usually start the morning show, but it's not morning, but I'm going to do it anyway. For those who haven't put on their armor of God, because we need protection all the time, I always do the full armor of God. So therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. If you've done everything to stand, stand firm, then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Put on the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. That's Ephesians 6. And I am just going to start off with Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We just praise you, our Lord Jesus. We just praise you. We just worship you. We love you so much. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your sacrifice for us and your love. And we will see you soon. And to this, I'm going to bring on 626, which should be Leah, but it could be Stacy as well. Hi, 626.
Hey, Tana. It's Leah. How are you?
I'm good, Leah. How are you?
I am hanging in there. It's a lovely Sunday evening. What do you say?
Oh, you're saying you're hanging there, and you said you love the way what?
Oh, I just said it's a lovely Sunday evening. Okay. Or afternoon.
Sunday evening.
Where you're at.
We're hanging in there, waiting and waiting. Any new revelations that have been brought to you?
No.
Any new words?
Not at the moment.
Okay, well, how about if we bring on our Carol? Let's bring on Carol. She can join the girl chat party. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hey, I have myself muted because I'm having those doggone ads. you know how they're just annoying, and I can't seem to pause them or kick them out right now. So anyway, congratulations in hosting the show tonight. How does it feel to host the show in the evening?
It's going to be interesting. It'll be different. It'll be different.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm more awake than normal, but I'm tired because I, you know. But I'm at least awake. I don't know if I ever, you know, I probably don't have that morning voice that I normally do. But
oh yeah, that's right. You don't. You don't have that. You don't have that morning voice. How was the Sunday school teaching this morning? Did you wake up the children?
It was good. I just go in and help. You know, I'm with the babies and the
toddlers. Oh, that's right.
So I go in and, you know, today a lot of our helpers, because it's all volunteer, a lot of volunteers are taking vacation. So the Lord actually answered prayers because normally we're like more babies than we have staff. And since people are going on vacation, we're like, we're going to definitely be understaffed. But I prayed about it. The Lord, you know, bring us peace and that, you know, not a lot of people bring their children to church today. And praise the Lord, you know, we were fine. So it was good, though. I love it. You know, I love the little ones. They're so cute. But it was good.
Yeah.
Very peaceful. Peaceful day because Jesus answered my prayer. So it was amazing.
Yeah, you know, that's what I used to do I remember when you told me you were with a baby, and that's when I helped with a ministry in a church. I did the same thing. I took care of the baby, and you know, I always what was neat about it is I always prayed over them, and I believe that the Lord has. I mean, I'm sure everybody prays, I'm sure, but I always, well, I don't know. I think I'm just a prayer warrior. I'm always praying. you know, that's why I think sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, he yells. He has to yell at me to get my attention because I'm always talking to I'm always talking to his word, so it's all good. But he does. He speaks to me in different. I don't hear his. I don't normally hear his voice audibly. It's on those rare occasions when he's really trying to get my undivided attention that I hear him. Most of the time, he speaks through me, through my spirit or through my intuition. It's like I sense something. And I just listen to or follow my heart, and all of a sudden he'll lead me to what it is he's trying to show me or tell me. So that's how I hear him most of the time. But I did want to share. I came outside away from my brother. But I want to share something really neat, okay? You know how, in past shows, we have talked about, how funny the Lord is, how he has a sense of humor. Well, check this out. Okay, you know my brother doesn't believe in God, and he's very respectful of me, and he's been asking me about the shows. How I told him that I host the shows, in the morning. And it's like a church service, and everybody calls in, and so we're just crazy loving Jesus people, and he said, "Well, that's good." You know, he's real respectful. He's very supportive in that sense. You know, he's like he doesn't roll his eyes and whatever, okay. But he doesn't really want to hear me teaching or telling him anything more about the Lord, and that's fine because I already have. I've shared the entire gospel with him, from Genesis to Revelation. I've explained to him the rapture, and he's in the Lord's hands. So, I was telling Bill earlier today. He likes a particular brand of popcorn. It's called Brims. You get it at the dollar store. So, we've been buying it, and they're just bags of popcorn, right? Well. Check this out. In the very back of the bag of popcorn is the scripture, Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not faint. Now, what are the chances that my brother specifically chose this brand of popcorn to really, really like? He won't eat any other brand of popcorn, only this one, the one that has the scripture on it. And what bag of popcorn or chips or anything has a scripture stamped to it, and this one does, and it's Isaiah 40:31. I'm sure he's never seen it, he's never paid attention to it, and I didn't not even see it until today. But this is why when I saw it, I laughed. I said, "Here, see how the Holy Spirit works. My brother's avoiding him, but the Holy Spirit is following him. He's like." You wait and see this, and I'm telling you, he loves this popcorn. It's the only brand of popcorn he really likes. and it's the only brand of popcorn that has a scripture, you know, imprinted on it. And it's this one, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And in a way, that's what my brother is doing. He's waiting for the Lord to really zap him, to really bam him. Okay? And once he does, the Holy Spirit is going to renew his strength, and he's going to mount up with wings as eagles, and he will walk, and he will not faint. And it may be during the tribulation, but so be it. He's got the mark of God on him. So that was my little praise report, my little upbeat moment for the day.
That's so cool. That's very cool. What kind of popcorn is it? What's the brand of popcorn?
Oh, the brand of popcorn. Brims. B as in boy. R I M as in Mary apostrophe S. And you know where you get it at the dollar store.
Huh,
and you know what it says? You know what it says at the very top? I'm looking at the bag right now. I have it with me. At the very top in the back, on the same side where the scripture is imprinted, it says, "Life is so delicious." And you know, that is a subtle. A subtle word, a subtle sign from God. Because who is life? Jesus.
Yeah.
He is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Right?
He's amen. I have Brother Rowdy on the line waiting, I believe.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Hey, hello, people of God.
Hi, brother.
Hello,
Bobby. I'm hosting the show tonight, so welcome. What's going on in your life?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, you know, not much. Every day looking up to heaven and expecting, you know, the days to pass fast. To see if we finally get to that wonderful day that that we believe that the Lord is coming. And I have to tell you, I after I did this last video, the more I meditate on that verse of Acts 1:11, you know, that it says that he'll come back in like manner, in just the same way he went up. It's kind of obvious that I actually expanded, you know, the following verses that mention what the apostles did. It says that they walked a Sabbath day and they went into the upper room. So literally, they actually both ascended, the Lord and the apostles. The Lord ascended into the clouds and the disciples went into the upper room. So could that have been a representation of the rapture? It's more likely to be so. And you know, they did, you know, go into the upper room, and the Bible says that they walked a Sabbath day distance. It doesn't mean that was a Sabbath. It means that in the Sabbath, you know, the Jews they're only allowed to do a certain amount of walking and a certain amount of things and turning on the light and this and that, you know what I mean? A lot of things are forbidden for them. So walking a Sabbath day distance, that means that they only walked half a day. And the Sabbath really represents the seventh day. And if it's half a Sabbath, it's half a day. You know, seventh day could be 7 years peace treaty. And if it's half a day, it could be the 42 months, the half, the 7 years that we go into the upper room. I mean, I think it's very prophetic. The Lord, you know, I started to do some search and study on this, and it's amazing that, you know, how come didn't we see this before? You know, I mean, right. The Lord ascended into heaven, and they ascended into the upper room. In other words, they were both, you know, taken into the upper room. And if this 28 indeed is the, you know, because of a new moon and because of Ascension Day is the day of the rapture, I mean, it makes a lot of sense because in like manner involves a lot of more things than and, you know, I was meditating last night. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this guy, L.A. Marzulli, that talks about the Nephilim and how the Lord gave him, you know, to study on as in the days of Noah. And I mean,
right.
And it, you know, it was actually deeper, and it's true. As in the days of Noah, it's not just that people were drinking and this and that, but there were Nephilim.
Right.
So when we look at this verse of Acts 1:11, and it says he will return in like manner, it's not only talking about him coming down in the clouds, but it's coming. It's talking about you know the symbolism of the 43rd day after Passover, and you know last night I was meditating in the book of Exodus, and you know I was all over the place. I was all over the Bible last night, and I tell you, you know the people of Israel, they came out of Egypt on Passover. And it was exactly the same trip. They got to the mountain of God in Pentecost, and, you know, the cloud came down, and the trumpet sounded very loud. It's the whole, you know, shadow of the rapture yet to come. And so if the Lord is to come back down in like manner, and this in like manner means, you know, that it's also 43 days, after Passover, I would say that is, I mean, I'll be the, you know, the king of coincidence, you know, I mean, it'll be too much because I remember that a few videos ago, I was speaking about the pattern of the day 28th, and I did not know yet that something was going to happen on April 28th as it did, you know, the 69 tornadoes and the solar eclipse. And I did not know that even May 28th was a new moon. So last night I was reading on Exodus 26, verse 2, and, you know, it mentions a lot of measurements, sizes and numbers of the temple. And in Exodus 28, verse 2, it was mentioning about the 28 cubits of the curtains that were, you know, to cover the temple, and there were 28 cubits by 4 cubits. And I was like, oh, my God, could this be this pattern of 428? It's only a possibility, but it's a very strong one. I was reading what this famous, very famous scientist, Isaac Newton, that he was a very devout, you know, Christian. He did a lot of research, you know, on numbers and measurements of the temple, and he knew, and this was actually his opinion, that they were dates and time frames and all that. So I went last night into that, and I was amazed to see that in Exodus 26:2, it talks about, you know, the 28 cubits of the curtains tied by 4 cubits. So in other words, could this be 4 curtains of warnings tied by 4 months, you know, and where it finalizes, you know, with the final warning in the rapture? I mean, I guess we will soon see, but it's definitely a very big possibility. The more I meditate on this, the more I read this, it becomes as what the Lord gave to L.A. Marzulli, that as in the days of Noah, did not only mean that there was a lot of sin on the earth, but it meant also that all these demons were having sex with women, and you know, the degeneration of the human genome, the DNA, and the whole spectrum that all this that Satan, you know, worked with to try to defy God and to try to corrupt and to try to, in this case, to even mark which is the ultimate goal now, to mark humankind with his mark. And, you know, this it's exactly the same thing. I think the Lord put that as a clue. I mean, the more I meditated, like I said, you know, when you read, I mean, why these two witnesses there to actually mention that? It was simply a clue. It was a clue. Hey, you guys, you know, gazing up into heaven, he will come down in like manner, you know. I mean, it was a hidden clue. And, of course, the Lord is opening the seals because we're in the final days. And now we can see, you know, a lot of things a little bit more clear. But it's just amazing. I mean, what are the odds that on February 28th, the movie Son of God came out of Hollywood where they completely hate Jesus. And then on March 28th, they came out with the Ark of Noah, which, of course, it wasn't a, you know, a complete biblical. It was a mix. It was a kind of a distortion, but still is the event of what happened. And then, you know, what are the odds that everything, we have 4/28, you know, February 28th, the Son of God, March 28th, the Ark of Noah, April 28th, 69 tornadoes with a solar eclipse in Australia. And this 28th, a new moon with Ascension Day, in the same day of Ascension Day. I mean, what are the odds of all this on the 28th? I mean, wow. If there are simply coincidences, I don't know. I mean, they're kind of too coincidental, really.
Someone else brought up the State of the Union addresses on January 28th.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Someone else brought up the State of the Union addresses on January 28th.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's been. That I read that too. And it's just the coincidence. Or the thing is that what is the people could say? Okay, but yeah, but we've always had Passover. No, not really. This is the first Passover in 114 years that actually fell on the 14th of the month, the 14th of Nisan, matching the Gentile calendar. The 14th of our calendar, the 14th of April, was actually the 14th of Nisan. And not only that, there was another great, great finding the Lord gave me the other day, that it was that David, ran away from Saul in a new moon, exactly and precisely in a new moon. And we know that David, you know, is a representation of the church. In some cases, in some other cases, representing Christ. But here, he was representing the church, and King Saul was representing a form of an antichrist hunting down David. And David, on the new moon, he left. He fled, you know, Jerusalem, and he was persecuted for 4 years. I mean, what are the odds? This is exactly what we will have left till 2018 to complete the desolations of Jerusalem, about 4 years. So this is why we know that this is the last Passover. It must take place in this Passover to Pentecost, because after that, we simply have the 42 months, and the church cannot be here for that. So, you know, biblically, this is simply by the Bible. It is completely biblical to look at the numbers. This is what Daniel did, and when you read chapter 9, verse 2, Daniel said, I looked into the books that the prophet Jeremiah spoke, and I looked into the books, and I looked at the numbers, and that's what we have been doing. And he was given the time frame, exactly the same that the Lord did with us. If he's telling us that the desolations of Jerusalem must be accomplished, that they must be fulfilled within 70 years, and we count back only because we are in the verge of right there of the 66th year, and we count back from, you know, from the 70 year down, the 42 months or the 1335 months 35 days, I'm sorry, which is only 45 days extra, then we realize that this is the last Passover to Shavuot. It must take place now. And that is wonderful, I think.
Oh, that's amazing. That's awesome. More than wonderful. That is so cool.
It's unbelievable. This is finally it. And we have the biblical substance to back this up.
That's so true, and that's so right on about it falling on Nisan 14, and that being the date that, you know, the Lord did the Last Supper at Passover. You know, it doesn't, every year I keep track of when it is, and it'll fall weeks in each direction sometimes. So for the fact that it to be right on, and then, you know, the blood moon, like, again, so much happened during the blood moon. Just because we didn't get raptured, there was a massive earthquake. Doesn't mean a lot didn't happen in the spiritual realm. And just what you just brought up, that's so spot on. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. I mean, it's just everything is there. You know, this Passover, the one in 114 years to fall on the same day, accompanied by a blood moon. And also, we have to consider that, you know, the Lord also gave me a detail that he was going to come in right after or during this season of, you know, the census. And we know that the expiration of the Obamacare, which is a census, was on March 31st. So the persecution is about to unleash. The only sign for that persecution to break loose is the rapture of the church. We need to leave first so he can really operate. That's why the beast and the false prophet met each other already. He went and took the seed of Cain and gave it to the Pope. That's why the gift, the present he brought there was a seed representing the seed of Cain. And they got together already. They probably even have it all planned out. So, all really that is missing is the rapture to take place. And I seriously expect it on the 28th. If it's not the 28th, it should be before Shavuot. But, I mean, the 28th is the only one that has the new moon. That's when the Bible says that to blow out the trumpet. And we shall see. I think to fall all of that, to be even falling on a day of Ascension Day, I mean, it's just... the coincidence there are just too much. I don't think if you read carefully the Bible, it all comes down to only the hour, not even the day. The Lord mentions, in a verse that says, you know, if the good man knew at what hour, and in another book it says in which watch will the thief come in, he will, he will pray, he'll be watching and not let it happen. So it doesn't even mention the day. It only even mentions the hour. So it was all going to come down to the hour. Because if we read the parable of the 10 virgins carefully, we realize that it says that a voice was heard at midnight. The Lord is coming. The husband is coming. So we are going to know. Because, the virgins that had no oil in their lamps, they went to prepare and try to, they try to fill up their lamps. In other words, you cannot come to peace with God in a matter of two days. You know what I mean? You cannot. Yeah, you will repent, but since there is no oil in your lamp, the repentance is only miles out. You see, if you're in the world, that is why, you know, seeking God is so important, because you're filling the lamp. That doesn't happen overnight unless you simply meeting the Lord for the first time. But a person that is actually backsliding, that is simply, he knew the truth but it's just in the world, out of fear, because you just found out and you heard that this prophecy, that the Lord is actually coming tomorrow, let's say, or in 2 days, you cannot fill your lamp out of fear. It has to be out of love. That is why these people will try to fill their lamp, knowing with a warning, with a very close warning, And they won't be able. They won't be able because you cannot fill your lamp out of fear. It has to be out of love. It has to be out of continued, prayer, seeking God, praising the Lord. And that is why the parable of the 10 virgins has that, a voice was heard at midnight, and even though the 10 of them fell asleep, 5 had oil. The other 5 didn't, and there they went. Oh, can you lend me some oil? Sorry, too late. They were left behind.
Crazy.
Again, so spot on. I love what you're bringing up. And it's not like, the other 5 virgins, not like they didn't want to lend oil. They can't. It's something earned. Like, you can't borrow someone else's anointing. Like the oil, Jesus always spoke in parables. And that one of the, 10 virgins, it's just so right on. Please keep going. I just tuned in 10 minutes ago when you were talking, and I'm loving it.
Well, it's like, it's like people, it's like these people that always say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, but they don't pray. Like, okay, I could pray as much as I want for you, but if you don't pray, if you don't give, the Lord what is of the Lord, I mean, that prayer could only work so much. That is why, there was this opportunity where they tried to tempt Jesus, and they show him the coin, and they told him, is it legal for us to, pay taxes to Caesar? And he said, well, who does it belong to? Caesar. Okay, pay Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But, give God what belongs to God. And we could do, we could work, we could do everything we need to do in this life, but we got to give the Lord his time. We have to give him what he deserves, what he paid a price of blood for us. And it was a very, very expensive price to pay. And you're just not going to escape here, not watching that. If you look, if you carefully read Luke chapter 21 from verse 34 to 36, clearly, that you need to be accounted worthy to escape. I mean, this is not, the Lord is coming and I'm, no. You need to be accounted worthy to escape, meaning a lot of Christians without oil will not be accounted worthy. And to be left behind knowing and simply by being, lazy, careless, of not, giving the Lord the time that he deserves and having that communion and having that, relationship with him, it's going to be very heavy on the left behind because there are many people. As I watched a video some time ago, a few months ago, of this kid that the Lord showed him the rapture and he was left behind. And he saw the percentage of that he almost made it by. He had, I think it was like a 72%. So he didn't make it. He was left behind. He was spiritually up to a 72%. So he met this girl that he was all looking down and, all beat up because she was left behind. And he said, I don't understand. I had 72%. I almost made it. And she looked at him like, shut up, man. I had 78%. And here I am. I was like, man, the Lord is incredible. That's some way to put it. Can you believe that you're left behind at a 78%, at an 80%? I mean, he gave himself whole in the cross. He did not at any point say, you know what, I'm up to a 95%. These people are a bunch of ungrateful people. I'm just getting out of the cross. He went all the way to 100%, and he said, it is finished. That is why he will not take from us a 72%, a 76%, an 80%. We need to be at 100% vested. We need to be vested in the Lord 100%. And our vesture has to be white, clean, spotless, without wrinkle, you see? That is why I understand a little bit more and more every day that goes on. Because he gave himself all. He will not tolerate a lesser percentage. He paid the price for you. The least you can do is, obey him. The least you can do is keep yourself holy for him and be a Christian to 100%. And really, that's what he's coming to get, worshipers that worship him in spirit and truth. And that's what he's seeking right now.
Well, we all have to make sure we have our oil and fuel ready to go. Everyone in chat is loving your things you're saying, Rody, just so you know. And they love your newest video you put out as well. God gave you, host keeps pumping you with amazing knowledge and wisdom. It's like, that's definitely a blessing he's given you, because I look at the Bible and I can't get half of it is what you're getting. So it's an amazing gift that he's given you to be able to figure this all out. The mysteries. It's so cool.
Well, you know, you'd be surprised. I mean, you get, like I said the other day, this is like bodybuilding. You start seeking God, you start, you know, reading the Word, you start asking him, you know, show me, and you got to read extensively, you know, read here, read there, and the Lord, you know, eventually will start showing you stuff, and, it's been a few years, but I can tell you that in this last year, the Lord has shown me more than in all those years, and I know why, remember that the Lord told Daniel in chapter 12, come on, Daniel, all these things are sealed to the end, you know, to the final days. You know, this is not for anyone to know now. The Lord kept all these things a secret, you know, until the final days. But these are the final days, and now the Lord is, breaking the seals. I mean, I see that a lot of people think that the Great Tribulation is going to be 7 years. And I know, because I used to believe that, myself. And the Great Tribulation, I mean, I don't know what anyone was reading. And now I realize that it's actually the Lord that had not opened the seals yet. I mean, the Bible says clearly in Revelations that the Antichrist was given authority to act 42 months. Now, if the Antichrist was only given 42 months to act, where is the 7 years tribulation coming from? You see, it's only a 3.5 year tribulation. It's actually a little bit more, you know, up down to the 4 years, but it's exactly the equation of Genesis 45:6 the Lord gave Joseph. You know, 2 years and then the remaining 5 years, which are the worst ones, and you know. Only this year it was unveiled to me that and revealed that the desolations of Jerusalem had to be accomplished in 70 years. And when, you know, and it made, all of a sudden, everything made sense. Like, wow, you know, we're right now, we're about to hit the year 66 in Shavuot. I believe that is why the church needs to live before that, because it cannot, you know, reach Shavuot. I mean, by the Gentile calendar, it's already 66 years, but the Lord does not go by that calendar. It goes by the Hebrew calendar. Remember that Shavuot, one of the meanings of Shavuot is weeks. And it's weeks, it's Pentecost, it's 7 years. So, Israel was born in Shavuot in 1948. It's only until Shavuot 2014 that they will reach 66 years. I think that we are to live before that. I'm just playing with the biblical time frame. It is biblical that we have 5 years remaining. You see, five Shavuots. When I went to Wycliffe, translation of the Bible, and I did some deep search on this, and Daniel definitely, I mean, not Daniel, Joseph was definitely talking about five remaining Shavuot, not five literal years, because when his brother his brothers came in, and he said, you know, it has been 2 years of famine on the earth, and they're still remaining the worst 5 years. They still have to go and you know, back to Canaan and bring Jacob, his father, with the rest of the people, the cattle, you know, the sheep, and all everything that of their belongings. So that took some time because Jacob was an old man already. He could not simply travel that quick. So by the time they all came in and Jacob came in to Joseph, it was almost very close to the fourth year. And I did this search with the chronological, you know, studies that all these ancient scholars have done and historians, and it's exactly that way. That is why we're almost there. So this is, I mean, this is it. This is the time of the rapture. The Lord should be coming. It's either on the 28th or before Shavuot, before Pentecost. I truly believe the 28th is our day. We shall see.
That's so exciting. I'm ready. What were you saying?
I said,
it's so exciting. Oh, it's so exciting. I have some questions in chat about, you know, how the 10 virgins and keeping your oil lamps filled with oil. Questions about exactly what is the oil and how to keep yourself filled with oil and ready. Anyone have any revelation on that or explanation?
Well, it's really simple. All you got to do is, separate a time for the Lord daily. For example, I, for many years now, I can't go to sleep early. I just can't. I can't sleep. I'm used to it already. So I go to sleep every day at 3 o'clock in the morning, the earliest. That's the time where my kids are sleeping, you know, from 11 to 12, 1, 2. So that's the time where I could watch a video, read the Bible, pray, you know, give all that time to the Lord. Now, if you don't have that, and that's just me, you could simply, you know, give the Lord, an hour a day. Remember that he gave us the formula. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying and he went back to the apostles and he complained and told Peter, man, you guys can't pray even an hour with me? Not even an hour? So he gave us 24 hours. He's expecting us to at least give him one of those 24. And as long as you give the Lord, you know, you're giving the Lord an hour and you're reading and you're praising, seeking God, you know, anything that you're missing, he will add unto you. Seek ye the kingdom of God first, and everything else will be added unto you. And that is not material only, that is spiritual. Any area that the Lord sees that you're missing, that you're slacking, that, you know, but if you don't seek him, if you don't seek his face, if you don't pray, if you don't, you know, then, and praying is nothing but having a conversation with the Lord. It's not vain repetition like Catholics. You simply converse. You have a conversation. Lord, you know, have a talk. I mean, I'm having problems here. Look at this guy from work. I mean, pray for this, pray for that. There's a thousand things to pray for. Pray for Israel, says the Bible. Pray for the church. Pray for your friends. Pray for your family members. There's plenty of subject to pray.
Right.
And then when you get tired, you go and read the scriptures, you know. And then you call it a day. And every day the Lord, that's every time in my life the Lord has shown me a vision or a dream, I have been in deep prayer.
Right.
So.
Another example for myself, when I began to study the meaning of the oil in our lamps, the lamp is the Word of God, okay? And the oil is His Holy Spirit filling us.
Amen.
Now, Jesus told us, if you drink from me, you'll never thirst. If you eat my body, you'll never be hungry. You eat the bread of life, you're never hungry. So what he's saying there is that we are, you know, just because we are born again by his Spirit,
by his word. And, you know, we believe in him and we pray. That's not enough to have our lamp filled with oil. We have to have that continual communion with him. And yes, many people have to work and go to school and have kids and grandkids and everything under the sun. We get that. But, you know, it's more than, for me, it's just, you know, we all take showers, go to the bathroom, we drive, go to the store. On your way there, all you have to do is say, you know, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me more with your love. See, the lamps, when you put oil in a lamp that has a wick, okay, and you turn the lamp on, the oil eventually starts going down. You've got to fill that lamp with more oil. Otherwise, that little flame is going to be snuffed out. This is what happened to those virgins. 10 of them were always making sure that their lamp, which is their spirit, which is the word of God in their spirit, they always had the oil. They were always shining, because when we have the oil in our lamps, we shine, we glow, right? And there that's just, and people just gravitate to us. But if we don't drink from the fountain of living waters daily, if we don't have communion with him daily, the oil will start, you know, going down and down, and that's why people become dry, and they say, you know, I don't feel close to the Lord. Well, you don't feel close to the Lord because your lamp needs oil. Fill your lamp with oil. Drink from the fountain of living water, who is Jesus. Call on his name, right?
Amen, amen. Clear example is in the book of Nehemiah, where when they were rebuilding the walls, and you know, Tobias and Gesem the Arab and all the enemies were trying to scare them, and you know were threatening the Israelites and mostly Nehemiah and Ezra. They had, you know, this, they were commanded to, you know, rebuild the walls and the temple and all that, and you know, the example there is unbelievable, where they had in one hand they carry the sword, and on the other one they carry the shovel, you know, and so they were working, and at the same time they were ready for war. And that's exactly the way a Christian do. You see, you go to work, mm-hmm. and everything, you got to do your daily doings, but you got to have the sword at all times in your hands, and that sword is the word of God. You have it.
Amen.
That in any given moment, a temptation or something, and you can rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And that could only happen, you know, if you eat spiritually. You see, if you see all these kids and all these people in different countries where there is a great famine, that they have the big bellies and they're all skinny, and you can see the skeleton out of the body, really, they don't eat in the flesh. And that is exactly the same way the spirit of a man will look if he doesn't eat spiritually. You see, the uh-huh. same way, for example, I'm a fat guy, so I fit my flesh, all right? I like flans, and I like all kinds of desserts, and I like to eat a good steak, and I like, you know what I mean? So I take care of my flesh. Now, in that same way, you got to take care of your spirit. If you don't feed your spirit, what's going to happen is that it's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to die. So that is the responsibility of a Christian. You need to feed your spirit with giving God what belongs to God. You know, you need to have your daily prayers, your daily time with the Lord, your daily, you know, in the secret of your house, in of your room, you know. The Lord, that the Bible says that he sees in secret, he will reward you in public. And but that is your responsibility, each one of us. The same way we eat every day and we don't miss dinner and we're hungry, we get a headache, or the same thing, that happens, you know, spiritually. You know, we're hungry spiritually and we don't feed the body. Initially it starts with a headache, which is a problem that manifests, and we, if we don't see it, you know, it deteriorates more and more, and it gets to a point where it finally dies, and that's when people, you know, go astray of the Lord. And in
right.
the final days, we have to make sure, because the enemy is attacking with everything he's got. So we got to make sure that we don't leave a, you know, an opening, that we don't leave room for any kind of, you know, attacks, or he will be attacking, but that he doesn't penetrate and takes advantage, because we know that the enemy is like a roaring lion out there, seeking to whom
he can
devour. So, you know, we got to do what we got to do.
Amen. See, and Dana's really blessed. She always reminds us when she hosts the show. She starts off with prayer, and she starts off reading Ephesians 6, putting on the full armor of God. You know, and that's her gift to us, always reminding us, don't ever take off the full armor of God. You know, and keep hold of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, that's how we fend off the enemy, with the Word of God and talking to the Lord. We fend off the enemy. The shield is for our protection, but if we don't have the sword, the enemy's going to keep hitting that shield until the shield falls off. We have to have the sword of the Spirit with us at all times.
Amen.
And he's out to devour us in these last days. And we have to, you know, when we meet people that, you know, are weak in the faith, we got to splash them. We got to give them a drink of living water. We got to give them a little morsel of the bread of life, so that they can, you know, rise up. That's our responsibility. You know, we've got to do that to one another. That's why we get together like we do, because we build one another up. But we can't keep it constrained just to us. See, when Jesus told
Amen.
His disciples, go out. So we just meet people in the street. We bless them. We give them a word of encouragement in the Lord, you know, when we give a word of encouragement to the Lord, His Holy Spirit feeds us at the same time. We get fed when we feed someone else in the Spirit.
Amen. All right, check this out, people of God. I have to go. It has been a pleasure, but today I have to go to a church. My wife is calling me all over the place, and. But wonderful, wonderful. We'll be calling in another opportunity. So, you know, I commend you and into the arms of the Lord, and God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Rudy.
Talk to Jesus. Thank
all
you.
Right. All right.
God
until next
you.
Time, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That was awesome. Thank you, Brother Eddie. Let's welcome 818, which I think is that you, Keith? And Joe, of course, we heard Joe. Welcome, Joe, as well. Let's welcome Pat. Hi. Hi, Stacey and Chad and Blah and Carol. You're bi-locating. Judy says she loves everybody and hello. She just has some stuff to do, so she comes right off the show. So here I am and my lovely Keith's on the phone, and let's see, and hi, Deborah, hi, Gemma, hi, Geth, hi, Lala, hi, John, hi, Chris, hi, Nick, hi, Alana, hi, Bill, hi, Raina, hi, Rosemary, hi, Roman, and Michelle also sent her love, and she says hello. She's still on vacation, and so we should still have Leah on the phone, and Carol, and Joe, and is that you, Keith? 818-9694. And that's not me. I think it's Keith. He's the only other 8918 number that I know. That's my area. Anyway, hi.
What did you still have?
What, honey?
I was just going to say, does he still have the same area code now that he's in Vegas?
Yeah, yeah, because you can keep, nowadays you can keep your cell phone no matter where you move. Because Leah still has her cell phone prefix from this area as well. That's how I know that she used to live in my area, because her, but she's over on the East Coast now. So, yeah, you can keep your phone. Is, yeah, you didn't used to be able to. You just have to switch, but, yeah. So, yeah, that's
that.
What up, Joe?
What up? Sorry, I had myself muted. I'm building a stool.
He almost muted himself. You were what?
I'm building a stool.
Oh, you're building a stool. I thought something about stool, but nothing about building.
I'm not taking a stool. No, I'm building it.
That's what I was like, I probably,
I'm sorry, I wish I'd done something more interesting. I'm having fun just for you guys. I wish I could have done something interesting with building a stool.
Well, I'd like to build a stool too. I would be there helping you, sorry, but I'm not.
I like sitting in a more than building, but it's enough about school. How are you, Tana? Are you double timing today? You did this morning show?
No, I'm
not a morning person. I'm up, at least 3 in the morning every night, if not later.
Yeah, I couldn't do this morning show because I had to help with that. Sunday school, but so Carol took over. Carol, Chris was, I know Bill called in, and was Chris on as well? I didn't get to hear all of us.
She was on different.
Oh, how's Chris doing? I haven't heard from her in a bit.
She's gonna do us the honor of hosting tomorrow morning's show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh. Yay, that is very cool. Chris has, I asked her about her vision, because she's had that ongoing vision, and now she, has seen the care, she saw a purple cloud, and she saw Jesus giving, like, a pastor, like, the finger of going up in the air, like, so that's cool. So it's getting close, and we're going home. So who wants? We're going to do some worship, so who wants to pick a song? Anyone have a particular song they want to hear?
We haven't heard Eye of the Tiger recently.
I don't think we have that one on the show. Yeah,
oh, we don't anymore?
I don't think we have either.
Oh,
on
do you
need
Final Countdown?
Final Countdown? I can do that one.
Let's do Final Countdown. Yeah.
I'll just say Eric Angel with the... Let me see if I can find it. Final Countdown. Let's count down, because we're going home. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
This is easy to go, Dan. It's nice and sturdy, too. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, why get the $50 one and the $80 one, you know, or $60 one? That stupid star or whatever. And it's slippery. This isn't slippery. And that would have cracked. That was vinyl. This is leather.
Leather, vinyl, who cares?
Hi, Mama Pat.
Hi. Come on.
No, I muted you for a moment because you were talking about your stool. So I muted you for just a moment. Hi, Mama Pat.
Hi, sweetie. How's everyone?
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't know I was unmuted.
Oh, that's okay. You were funny. Which do you want, vinyl or leather?
Well, we went with. All right, enough about this stool. I'm sorry. I was muted.
It was funny.
Actually,
that's okay.
Actually, Joe, Roman wants you to ask Jesus to help you build your stool since he's a carpenter.
Well, I do carpentry too, but it's pretty easy. I'm done. I'm tightening the last bolt right now. So. He helped, though. He helps with everything I do. I couldn't tie my shoelaces without him helping.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Welcome.
Yeah.
My son just left.
My son just left.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
what's happening? I've got beautiful stuff. Whenever.
Yeah, fine. We can share something and then we'll take another worship.
Okay, somebody sent me a page from C.H. Spurgeon. I think we've all heard of him. C.H. Spurgeon. I think people are familiar with his name.
Yeah.
Okay. This is for Ascension Day, May 29th. And it says, receive up in glory. And this is just a praise thing for our Lord. I know Jesus is going to be happy if you hear this. I know he will. And this man writes so beautifully. He said, we have seen our well-beloved Lord in the days of his flesh, humiliated and sore vexed, for he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He, whose brightness is as the morning, wore the sackcloth of sorrow as his daily dress. Shame was his mantle, and reproach was his vesture. Yet now, inasmuch as he has triumphed over all the powers of darkness upon the bloody tree, our faith beholds our King returning with dyed garments from Edom, robed in the splendor of victory. How glorious must he have been in the eyes of seraphs when a cloud received him out of mortal sight and he ascended up to heaven. Now he wears the glory which he had with God or ever the earth was, and yet another glory above all, for that which he has well earned in the fight against sin, death, and hell. As victor, he wears the illustrious crown. Hark how this song swells high. It is a new and sweeter song. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, for he hath redeemed us unto God by his blood. He wears the glory of an intercessor who can never fail, of a prince who can never be defeated, of a conqueror who has vanquished every foe, of a Lord who has the heart's allegiance of every subject. Jesus wears all the glory which the pomp of heaven can bestow upon him, which 10,000 times 10,000 angels can minister to him. You cannot, with your utmost stretch of imagination, conceive his exceeding greatness. Yet there will be a further revelation of it when he shall descend from heaven in great power with all the holy angels. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. It will ravish his people's heart. Nor is this the close, for eternity shall sound his praise. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Reader, if you would joy in Christ's glory hereafter, he must be glorious in your sight now. Is he so? And that was what he wrote. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was such a beautiful, something to praise our God with. Yeah, there were other messages, too, that have come in. Yeah, somebody from Sue. But, if you have other things to read or whatever, it was called The Great Transformation.
Mm-hmm.
It was posted by Rapture 2013. And this was back in September that this was written. It's from the Sparrow's Bone, but it's not from Aaron. If you want me to read that, I can read that too. It's just words of encouragement. If you want to do something else first and come back, because I don't want to take up.
No, that's fine. You guys, we're going to do another worship song, and then we'll go to that.
Okay.
Next one. All right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because this is interesting too.
Listen to request for Judy. You are not dead. You are resurrected for us, and you are alive,
Amen.
And you are coming back any moment. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you.
Amen.
We love you so much. And Mama Pat is now going to read something else for us.
Oh, this is good. Now, this is interesting, guys, because this is September 3rd, 2013. It's called The Great Transformation, but it's very encouraging. I mean, even back then. So I feel he's been acclimating us for years, because if he came back a few years ago, we wouldn't be ready. We are ready now, and there's so many people getting, like, eminent. So this is very encouraging, too. So I'm very happy to read it to you. Okay, here we go. You are cherished. Okay, first of all, prophetic word posted by, her name is Sue Crumpler in Sparrow's Barn Forum. Okay, this is not from Aaron. This is from someone named Sue. You are cherished beyond measure and dearly loved. I come on a day that you think not. Therefore, get your houses in order and keep your armor on. This cataclysmic event come upon you, the face of the whole earth. Shall this cataclysmic event come upon the face of the whole earth? But it is not so for you, my bride, for I will not let this day come upon you unawares. You will walk with me in the light that you have never dreamed possible on earth. I will flow through you in a magnitude that is completely foreign to earth minds. Bible stories are but a mere shadow of what is to come, for I will flow upon this earth in power that hath not been seen since the creation. This ushers in a new beginning, a paradigm change that you, my bride, will assist me in. You have been trained. Now you will be changed into my likeness in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Your redemption will be complete, and you and I will walk in complete oneness, and oneness is all in caps. Everything within you will transform, and you will know even as you are known. Trust me during the cataclysmic event. Trust me in earth's darkest hour. After 3 days, you will rise in newness of light. This is very soon to come. I see your hope. I see your expectation. I see your impatience, and I smile, for there is much trust and anticipation in your midst. I am very pleased with you. I hear and answer all of your prayers and fashions that will bring you the most joy and the greatest blessings. I ask you, as my bride, to bring me all your requests beyond your highest thoughts and dreams, so that you may receive and so that your joy may be filled to overflowing. Your place of current residence does not change your status with me. You are my bride, and as such, I again ask you to come to me with all your needs and desires. You are like Esther, and fearful to approach me with those things that concern you the most. Now is the time to bring me all your concerns, so that you will be free to be transformed into one with me. And he signs it, Abba, Father, your Redeemer, closest confidant, friend, and bridegroom. So how beautiful a word is that, guys? Wow. Whew. And that was September 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
Very exciting.
Okay.
Very comforting. Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, it's very comforting.
Oh, he's on his way. He's on his way. He's on his way.
Yeah. Keith, are you there? Do you want to talk now? Are you listening today?
He might be late. He said he was going to see a healer.
Oh, yeah, he's on the line, but he's probably just listening.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Hi.
Can you now?
Hey.
How's
yeah, we
going?
Just went to this, it was cute. It was like one of those, it's an older part of Vegas, and it was like, you know, when they have like little storefronts, and it's like a church in the storefront. It's really cool, you know, really old, and there's an older guy and his wife there. He was like in his 70s or 80s, I think. But it was just, you could tell they had the power of God on them. There was only like 10 people there in the little pews, and we came to the end of the sermon, and he was just talking about, you know, I hope you're not going to just be Christian in name, you know, I hope you're going to go out there and do something for the Lord, and you know, and then we went up there, and he prayed over me, and he said, you have incredible faith, both of you. Like, he was going on and on about that. He said, he said, I could tell when I look into you. He said, you just keep going forward. You're not letting anything stop you. And I said, yeah, I'm helping bear fruit for the Lord by talking on the radio and other things. And he said, it's good for you. He goes, you're going to get your healing too. So he said, we're standing on it now. So he prayed over me, and there was like 10 people in the audience, you know, like kind of like, you know, real poor people. But it was really cool because you could see they all were praying for me. That made my heart just swell. It was so great.
Wow.
And one woman was an older gal. She was speaking in tongues, and it was cool. You know, I like a church like that. You know, I'd rather go to a church like that than a $7 million church they have here where it's all religious spirit. This stuff was like real stuff, you know.
Yeah,
real
from the
people.
Heart. Yeah.
And that's what God looks at. You know, God looks at people that are really in the Word, that are really walking the talk, and not just, you know, living fancy lifestyle in a church that has watered-down doctrine. You know, this one was good. He's raised people from the dead, so he said, I raise people from the dead.
Whoa.
God's raised people from the dead for me, so you can be raised too, Keith. You know, and I'm like, I expect it.
Wow.
I'm expecting it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Lord told him that the Lord came to him and said that three evangelists were going to die, and then after the three had died and passed away, he said then God was going to unleash his miracles in Las Vegas. And that the third one had already just recently passed. So the miracles are here now, he said. You know, it's exciting.
Oh.
So we all stand in faith on that, you know. We all stand in faith that I got my healing today. Manifest. And he didn't pray for the healing. He prayed that it would be manifested in the physical. You know, that's the cool thing about it. He said, you already got your healing. I said, yep. I said, we're looking for the manifestation. He said, we pray that it goes from the spiritual to the physical. So it was cool. Yeah, I love churches like that, you know. You kind of get along better with people like that are real.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's great. That's a good report.
I know, it made me feel better, because in L.A. everything is like Skyping and texting and blah, 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 and here it's just nice to have hands-on, you know, I mean, this was like, this is different. Yesterday we've been Skyping someone for overhealing, today we're hands-on, getting outside, and it's beautiful today, it's warm, it's about 99, but it feels nice, and there's a desert breeze, and you can see all the casinos in the distance, it's really beautiful. Yeah, cool.
Enjoy the pool, too.
I know. Yeah, they're building a new pool. They're just going to finish it next week, so we're excited going in it.
Wow.
You know, our place is really, really, really nice, really clean. All the stores are brand new. The streets are new. And the city's called Seven Hills, and that God told me that's my number, Seven Hills, you know.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're happy.
I know. And what Brody was speaking earlier, right? And then he's done, or?
Yeah, hey, Brody was speaking earlier. Uh-huh.
Did you do telethon on anybody, or?
No. No, we didn't do telethon on anyone. We were just, Rowdy was chatting, and Carol was speaking a little bit, and then Mama Pat was just reading some stuff, and,
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Who's online? I mean, who's on the air?
We have you and Joe and Leah and Carol.
And Michelle?
No, Michelle's on vacation. She hasn't called in. She's on vacation.
Okay.
Cool.
Michelle's
I wanted to talk a few minutes on the Feeling Center. I was kind of getting something. The Lord was telling me to share a little something. So if we have time right now,
that's
I can
fine.
Share a little bit on
that. Oh, sure.
Plenty of time. Go ahead.
Is that all right?
Yeah,
sure.
You're fine.
Okay.
Yep.
So what I want to talk about is the gift of feeling. Some people are thinkers. Some people are feelers. So one thing I talk about is a lot of people have the gift of feeling. And some people are, for instance, Pat's got a major gift of feeling. Major. Like, she's on a scale of 1 to 10, Pat's like 100, okay? So she's off the charts. Judy has feeling and thinking both. I've got both. I'm more of a thinker. Joe's got both, too, as well. Even though he's more of a feeler in a lot of ways. It's interesting. He's got that really complex on both sides. Tana's more of a thinker, you know. I'm not always getting energy on Leah. I have to tune into her. But Leah, I get more thinker, for sure. So we're going to talk about, like, feeling. Like, so if you're a strong feeler and you want to sense something with someone, and if you don't know, like think about someone and you know, that you like, or someone that you hang out with in RCC, you'll know if they're a thinker or a feeler. If you're not able to sense if they are something, then you can listen to their words. People's words will give them away. Some people will say, I think this, I think that, I think this. Some people say, I feel this, I feel that. So listen to your words, and you'll know, like, other people's words, you'll know if they're a thinker or a feeler. But let's talk about feeling. Feeling is when you're talking to a stranger or talking to a friend or something, and you're feeling them, you can immediately start to feel what their energy, start to feel if you feel better from things they say or worse, or you can feel the negative energy, you can feel the positive energy. It's really, really clear. And then you're going to start, when they're talking to you, start to feel the energy behind the words. Like when they're, what are you getting the overall feeling from? They're saying one thing, but what are you feeling? And that's when you start to actually understand what's really coming from them. And you can actually ask yourself questions. You know, when you meet someone, is this person of God or is this person not of God? Does this person have my best interest at heart or do they not have my best interest at heart? It's usually positive or negative because we're coming from God's energy or the opposite energy. So you'll start to tune in, and when you start feeling people, you'll start to know what – you can look into their heart and actually see what is coming from their intentions. You know, this person, ask yourself questions. Do they have my best interest at heart? Are they walking in the spirit? Are they – you know, ask when they, when they're telling you things, start really sensing their heart. You know, does this person and as you start to ask questions about this person, you'll start to get deeper stuff about – ask yourself, who is this person? What are they like? What things do they like to do? What is their personality like? God will tell you all this stuff if you're, if you, you can ask questions in your mind, and God will simply provide all the answers. Once you know what this person is about, like their personality type and stuff, it's very easy to get this stuff. Then you can start to talk about, when you're talking about God, you'll know, like, okay, this person said this, so I should say this. See what I'm saying? You'll start to know what is, what to talk about with them and how to guide them. Like, that's why sometimes Christians, when they talk to people, they end up pounding them over the head because they're saying all the wrong things and the person's totally turned off. So you want to feel them out first, and you'll say certain things and they'll react certain ways. And then you'll start to say, oh, okay, this is the path I should take. You know, this is the, this is what they need. They need maturity in Christ, or they need this, or they need that. So like with Pat, you know, she's really sensitive to people. So this would be super, super easy, you know. The main thing is to look at, pay attention to what you're feeling, but the key is to be feeling what's coming from them, not necessarily what's coming from you all the time. You're feeling this as a reaction coming from them. So really focus on what's coming from this person. What can I do to help this person? You know, what can I do to strengthen this person? What things do I need to say? You know, those are the kind of things you want to ask yourself. You know, and God will direct that to you. Then after a while, it's pretty easy. You'll be standing, you'll be talking to someone, and you just can just let them talk, and you can just feel all their energy, feel what there's going on in their heart, where they are in Christ. You can locate them. I call it locating. You'll locate their faith, how much faith they have. You'll locate where they are in Christ, and you'll know exactly how to pick them up and say just the right thing that they need. You know, sometimes someone tells you all their problems, and you want to say the right thing. Well, start feeling what's going on with them emotionally, and then think about where you could say something to lift them up. See what I'm saying? So think about somebody in RCC that you chat with a lot or you become friends with a lot. And think about, are they a feeler or a thinker? Thinker, then you're going to talk about mental concepts with them, okay? If they're a feeler, you're going to talk about emotions, okay? That's the big difference. If they're a thinker, you're going to be talking about mental concepts, maybe Bible verses, you know, more logical things. And then if they're a feeler, you would just be talking about emotions and love and encouragement and strength. Those are the two things that you – so when you ask yourself, are they a thinker or a feeler? That's the first question you have. If they're a thinker, you're going to start talking about logical things. If they're a feeler, you're going to talk about emotional things from Christ to pick them up. And then you'll start to see, like, wow, this person is, like, blossoming before my eyes. And this is the way you can bear fruit and help them and stuff.
Mm.
That is what – so, Pat, have you run into examples like this, for instance? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I really never – when I meet people, I just try to give them the Lord if I can, or talk about them.
Yeah,
you can
be more strategic with that, Pat. You can be more strategic, yeah. And really, because God will show you where you need to plant the seeds. You see what I'm saying? Rather than just giving them the whole harvest. You see what I'm saying?
I'm very
you,
sensitive to people, how
yes.
they react and stuff. I'm very sensitive, and I try always to be kind of cheerful and happy and positive with them, you know, never
yeah.
judgmental or anything, but
yes,
and to draw the best out of them, if I can possibly. So I think the best thing to do is pray the Holy Spirit before you meet someone or say,
yes.
yeah, what do you want me to say? And all of a sudden, you're just going to start talking stuff, and you're going to wonder, where did this come from?
Well, you ask
well,
questions.
Did you just ask
you
the
ask
Holy
questions.
Spirit?
And ask questions, because remember, God's going to give you the answers through the word of knowledge. He's going to tell you how to help this person, mm-hmm. what to say.
Oh,
so
definitely.
That's why yeah, and God operates off of energy. He's a spirit. So we can. That's why we can. Discernment is discerning angels and demons. Discerning someone's spirit is what we're just talking about right now, feeling their spirit, if they're a thinker or a feeler. You can discern someone's spirit, and you can help them so much that way. Like for you, Pat, because you're sensitive, you kind of get overwhelmed by energy of feeling them, what you're feeling. You get overwhelmed by that. So what you
I'm
need
very
to do is,
sensitive. I'm yes. I guess you would call me a sensitive, but in a good way. Let that serve the Lord in some way. You know,
that's
if I can comfort someone,
figure out
if I can comfort
can
someone, that's my whole thing.
You know what they're feeling, Pat. So the key is then you'd want to come up with things from the Lord that would comfort them from what they're feeling.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? You know how to pick them up. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what emotions
well, I had
they're
that
giving
experience,
you
as I told you, in the supermarket where that woman came over and said, oh, you're reeking of the Holy Spirit. I mean, threw me to pieces. And I ministered to her. I collected myself, you know, and said, like, well, you better just take care of this. And she just told me all her whatevers, and I just blessed her and held, hugged her, and told her to trust in the Lord and that he would take care of everything. And so, but something happened inside me when that happened. It's like all of a sudden, God just took over, like, you know, I will minister to her through you, you know, and I just felt a switch in me. I don't know how you explain it, but I knew that this woman, this was a very special moment, and that God really had to come through to minister to her. And it doesn't have to be a whole lot of words. Sometimes it's a hug, sometimes it's a smile, or it's, yes, I hear you. It's don't think you have to talk a blue streak to people. You don't.
Yes.
Just, your soul is so sensitive. Oh, my goodness, your soul is so sensitive, like Jesus is so sensitive. And when you're talking, when that something like that happens, just let God within you. And sometimes it's just a hug or a smile. It doesn't have to be a whole lot of words, you know? Yeah.
Now, was she, this woman that came to you, was she a thinker or a feeler?
She must have been a feeler because she threw me.
Yep, exactly, Pat. Exactly.
And I was teasing.
She felt your energy
you,
when you walked into that store. She
and,
felt the presence of God on you. She felt the anointing.
But I wasn't aware of it because I wasn't aware. That threw me. I mean, I was like, and in front of everybody, I mean, the whole store is full of people. She didn't care. She come running up to me, yelling that at me. You've got the Holy Spirit. You're reeking of it. And I was like, can you imagine how I felt? I wasn't looking for that, and I looked like a schlep, like the cat and dog as I said, dragged me in. And I just, but you know, you've got to be ready. If you love Jesus, you've got to be ready for moments like that. They're not going
to
be quite as dramatic, but always be ready for the Holy Spirit to have someone that you might minister to. Yeah,
like
that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do.
What you would do with her, when you're talking to her, you would be talking about emotions of Christ, love and
Love, definitely.
Respond to, you know what I'm saying?
Consolation
to
her, consolation. She told me all the stuff. I mean, but she trusted me. She must have sensed. She was crying out to God in me. That's what it was. She knew God was in me because she picked it up, and she was telling Jesus all her whatevers through me. and trust him. All you guys out there, he's going to do the same thing. So be ready.
Yeah.
Get ready for your moment. Because if you're willing to do that for the Lord, he's going to use you.
And she was willing to bear fruit. She was asking God what to do for you. Because she immediately got, you know, if you say, every time you step into a store or anywhere, you go, God, what can I do for you today? He'll direct you to the right person. Next thing you know,
absolutely.
You'll be drawing a little bit of fruit and building your mansion in heaven.
There was another time I was talking, just quickly, as a total stranger, and we were talking and talking, and she had problems with not chiropractic, but joints and stuff. And she says, the doctor gave me this blue slip. It was my doctor. And we couldn't believe it. We couldn't believe it. It was so, what were the chances of that? But I know when I go out that God might just say, okay, here you go, this one here. And I just know I'm going to do it. I just know. My daughter says, you talk to everybody. She says, I said, well, you know, that's what I do. And I'm a woman, so I talk anyway, so.
And it's easy. If you ask God what you can do from every day, he'll definitely give you
He'll give you a lot of stuff.
I usually just
don't
do one
be
thing
surprised.
And then the
Don't be surprised, guys. He will.
He'll give you out of nowhere.
Oh, boy. I will never forget that. And I chided him when I got home. I says, if you're going to do that to me, make sure, you know, I have a little paint on, look a little neat, and my hair doesn't, you know, I don't look like something the cat and dog both dragged in. I was teasing him because I was totally thrown. But you know, because God in me, he took over and he ministered to that woman. She was smiling when she left because she touched Jesus in me and he touched her. That's the whole thing. We have to be another walking Jesus Christ. So get ready for these moments, because people, if they sense God in you, they're going to come to God. They're going to come at God in you, and they're going to want some answers, and they're going to want some consolation. And you have to be that instrument, that vessel to others.
Like when I was in the church today,
You
know, I was using my gift. There was about 10 people in the church. I was scanning the people, and I could tell you, Lord was showing me. For me, God's given me the gift, so I don't even have to ask him. It's already, I just turn the gift. The gift's on and just use it. But I could.
Yeah.
I was scanning the people in the church, and I could quickly and easily see where each person's faith was and where their walk was with Christ.
Wow.
I could see exactly where they were with Christ. Oh, boom, 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 boom. I just knew it. I'm like, I got all these people down. My brother was saying the same thing. He's like, you see these people here? I go, yeah, more new in Christ. And this one, no, more lukewarm. And that one, she's on fire. I said, right there, yeah. So
he will use you. He will use you to minister to all these people, and not just those 10. He's going to give you all of Las Vegas.
Oh, I would love that. Oh, man, that'd be
He
so
will.
Great.
Just ask him every day.
Great.
You will minister.
Okay.
Work with that one who laid hands on you, that he will guide you to other people.
Okay.
Oh, God's going to put you on a roller coaster.
We're going to like 15 churches, so there's a lot we're going to uncover here.
And that's for everybody. Everybody out there.
Yes.
It's for all of us to do this, to be ready, you know.
It
to be ready to be
God
another Jesus Christ to everybody.
Every yes. Yeah,
every day to just be another Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let people
to
come to you. And and what's beautiful is that Jesus in you, because you're so surrendered to our Lord, he will talk through you to these people. You will be in his place in a way, talking to these people, consoling them. The Holy Spirit will do this for you. And it feels wonderful. It feels so good when you can help somebody get over their burdens or give them a little encouragement.
Man.
That's God in you. That's God doing it in you. Let him. It's exciting.
It's
wonderful. And you will cry with them,
thing.
And you will laugh with them. Yeah.
Because
a lot of
thing.
People are hurting. A lot of people out there are hurting big time.
I know.
And God
I know.
Will guide you to them, to help them.
Especially in this town, you know, you see the, like, even though it's really cheap to live here, you see the really, really poor people, and you just feel for them, you know, and you're like, my heart reaches out to them to help, you know, because... Sometimes they just don't know who they are in Christ because they're not aligned with the Lord. They knew who they are in Christ. They could change things around. You know, they need hope.
Yeah.
Hope is what it's all about.
God will guide you. You and your brother. He will guide you.
Yeah.
You will reach these people. You know?
Well, it's funny because every time we go to a church, they want us to work with their ministry and, you know, recruit us. And it's very funny.
Of course. Let the Holy
I'm not,
Spirit
but I still
you.
Haven't decided the one I want to work with. I have a guy, Vince, that I met here. He's grassroots, and he doesn't have a building yet. And he wants to he teaches Spanish people, and he wants me to teach the English people about the Bible. Because he's running into people that don't even they never heard Jesus in the Bible. They don't like know nothing about
it. Wow, that's
and
a ministry
wants,
right
yeah.
there. I'll tell you, that's
he
beautiful.
Wants, he wants to talk about the Bible to them, and then he wants me to talk about their gifts, so we can get equipped them and send them out on the field and go and do their thing
Keith,
to the Lord. You know what I mean?
Just ask the Holy Spirit today, where do you want me to go, and follow the inspirations. This way you have peace in your mind. You know what you're doing. You're doing it for the Lord. You're doing his will, and you're not going to have any like, well, I should be here. But just ask the Holy Spirit, and you will get a feeling and knowing, and that's for all of us, that where to go and what to do. Just be open and ready, because you might have a moment like
it.
I had, which will throw you. But you know.
That's why did that
oh,
woman,
that
and that's what
I
said with everyone.
No,
she
just,
I mean, what was
I
her
don't
deal?
Know. I don't know why. And in front, I mean, you're in a grocery store, and we're at the counter, and I had just started to walk away, and she comes charging after me. I mean, the whole world could hear what was going on. I didn't care because I love the Lord. And we walked outside finally, and I hugged her and blessed her and gave her some advice. But, I mean, was like, yo.
Wow.
I'm sure there's someone RCC who have had this, you know. They know what I'm talking about. But this was, I'm going back like, you know, 12, 13 years ago, you know. And it threw me. It just threw me. Because I didn't realize I was carrying that aura of that aura or whatever I was, you know. But he let me know, somebody's going to pick it up. And that's what happened. And it threw me. Guys, it threw me. But I'm happy. But I wish that I had been more aware of what was going on, you know. I just gave it over to him immediately and just tried to very simply be his love to her. And it was a whole lot of words. It was just she found Jesus in me, and he hugged her, and she was consoled. That's what I mean. We have to be other Jesus Christ to everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
That's our goal. Yeah,
and
to console others for him. Let him love through us. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
And just like you were saying, it's just the key is just to, you know, you don't have to, like, sell them the whole Bible and the revelation and the end times.
You don't have to do a preach.
You don't have to do a preach.
You've just got to love them. Let Jesus, if Jesus wants to say something in you, since you're open to the Lord within you, he will minister to them. He will. You'll find yourself saying things, and you'll say, whoa, who said that, him or I? And it's God in you. So always be willing to do that. Just love people. Just smile.
That's
just hold them. And that,
like,
will change them tremendously. Because what do we want? We want to be in the arms of our Lord. We want to feel his love. We want to love him back.
Oh, yeah.
And I love what Judy says. If you give everything to the Lord, you know, he's going to correct you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take out the all the stuff that isn't. Just go to him and let him do the cleaning. Let him do that. Because once you have a relationship with him, are you going to sin? I don't think you're going to sin on purpose. No, you're going to do everything to love. So let him work with you. Once you put yourself in his care and love and confidence, let him work. He'll do all the cleaning up. He will.
And that's why I tell, like, people in RCC, if they're talking to someone, they're not sure what to do, just simply say, God, what can I do for you right now? And he'll tell you.
Exactly.
That's the best way. Ask the question, you'll get the answer.
And boy, does he love
exactly.
it when you say that to him. He loves it when you say, what can I do for you? How do you want me to minister? Man, get ready.
Well, God told me, you know, he told me that people that have a lot of time for God on earth will have a lot of time in heaven. But people that don't have a lot of time on earth for him will not have as much time in heaven. See, in heaven, people think we're just going to be all screwing around having fun all the time. Well, there's going to be many people that have a lot of tasks to do, jobs to do, basically, tasks. Because on earth, they didn't do much for the Lord. They were so busy about their own kingdom. So the Lord tells me, if you're busy for me on earth, you're going to have a lot of time in heaven. But if you've got no time for me on earth, there's not going to be much time in heaven to be doing all the fun stuff that you want to do. You know, you choose. You better be busy for the Lord here. So when you're in heaven, you're having nonstop playtime all the time. You know, there's a big difference, you know.
So
you say, God, what can I do for you? And you'll get, oh, boy, your mansion will go up real fast. That's the whole key. You can do 100 things that you think God would like or one thing that he wants you to do. There's a big difference.
You know what it is? What I'm doing for him here, I don't care if I have a lean-to on the beach. I'm not looking for anything in heaven. I'm just looking to walk with him. Like others have said, I
want
to just
walk
with him.
You told me you want the California mansion, or you're telling the Lord, California mansion or nothing.
But you know what? If I have a mansion and all this stuff up in heaven, it's for all you guys to come over and have fun with me. And that's all I care about is what can I do for you? What kind of food do you want? You know, you want to go swimming? Everything is for you guys. Everything. Because that's the way I am here. That's the way I am up there.
I
don't care about that. I just care about loving him and making sure everybody I'm with is happy. That's all I care about. And then I'm happy. And then I'm happy. I don't ask for anything except his love and to make everybody happy, period. So as I said, I could be happy in a lean-to on the beach as long as I'm with all my family and all you guys and everybody else who we can love up there and mostly our Lord. Of course, his mommy, too. I love his mommy. But, you know, that's the way I am. I don't ask. But God is a rewarder. Rewarder. So he's thrilled to give you a match. He's thrilled to give you your heart's desire in heaven for your faithful service on earth to him. You know,
he doesn't have
we're living by
rewards.
Faith.
He's already given us heaven. Like, we don't have to get any rewards. We already have heaven.
That's
but on top of that,
he
said, I'll
he
give you more
that.
Rewards if you do stuff for
but
me.
But he's
like,
a giving God. He never stops giving. He never stops loving. He's full of surprises. Yeah. We are so blessed.
Like we get,
we're living
get
in heaven now.
But then we're going to get rewards. It's like rewards for doing what, Lord?
This
for
church
my
is
like, wow.
Above all else, I think this church that we belong to, thank you, Judy, for hanging in there, honey, because I know you've taken a lot of crap.
Thank
you know, this
you.
Church that
thank
we belong
you,
to is like the epitome of heaven on earth because we're loving him the way he wants to be loved. And I'm a very sensitive, and I've been around a long time, but I can see that. The love in this RCC is off the charts. And why? Because it's the love of God in us for each other and for him. Simple. We love. We simply
it's
love,
so
and that's why this church is so precious to God. I don't think there's another one in all the universe quite like what we have here or the love.
I know.
So thank you. Thank you, Judy, and everybody for hanging in here and taking all the heat and schlack, and I won't say other words, but, you know, really, taking all the garbage you've had to take because and hanging in here because it's all about love. It's all about a sincere relationship with the Lord and letting him love us, and we love him, and we love each other. That's what
and
it's
I
all
do.
About.
I do, really.
That's what it's all about is love, his love.
That's true.
Period.
I do. I really do.
This RCC has got to be such a consolation to our Jesus. It really does.
Yeah.
It really does. because we're loving genuinely and from the heart. None of us are looking to shine. None of us are looking to be better than anybody else. There's no contention. There's no competition. There's no comparison. All there is family love in our Lord. How more perfect can it be than that? So we have found heaven on earth already in RCC. We have found heaven on earth. And there's no place in the universe like RCC. I'm telling you guys right now, because the love is so sweet and sincere.
You're a family.
We're a family.
We are family, Jesus. Thank you for putting us together. And let's do a communion. We can worship you again, but we always worship you. And we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for our salvation. We thank you that your bloodshed has washed away all our sins, all our transgressions, and all our iniquities. And we thank you that your body took on all of our diseases, all of our sickness, all poverty, and all oppression. Thank you, Jesus. The ultimate price you paid for us. We love you. We worship you. And we ask you for forgiveness of our sins. We repent of our sins. And so, Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So they once partake of the bread. in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." When eating bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord. Here, let me see. It's on, here it is. I don't know, Isaiah 17. It says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Erkan shall be rooted up. Woe unto the, as you think of what's coming, you say, woe unto the woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Sherahites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will destroy thee, and there shall be no inherent inhabitant. So we're thinking of, you know, the unrepentant and the guys, May 24th, oh boy, with this linear. Hopefully this will be a wake-up call, because they're really concerned about, you know, meteor showers that are more than meteor showers, shall we say. So a heads up, and, you know, for those who are with the Lord, he's really going to take care of you, like that other reading said, and he's going to watch over you. But for the ones, I think that last part I read it, for the ones who are still, you know, flitzing around with their salvation and they're giving God a hard time and on the fence and not, you know, being too comfortable and not wanting to come over, even when he's inviting them, we don't know, you know. So I'm just saying, well, heads up for the week, for the next 4 days. Yeah, okay, we only have a few seconds, so we say come. Oh, Jesus. Like real food. Love you all. Thanks for letting me share with you. Hope it uplifted. Love you.